Nothing in this show should be considered legal, medical, financial, or investment advice. Information presented is from internet or other news sources. Always do your own research and due diligence. We're not responsible for and expressly disclaim all liability for damages of any kind arising out of use, reference to, or reliance on any information contained in this broadcast.
Hey everybody, guess what? It's Sunday and it's time for Money and Change right here on the Trim Radio Network, better known as trimradio.com. Hey, have you been taking a look at everything going on in the world today? It's getting crazy out there. So if you haven't done any prepping, I suggest you start keeping some cash in a safe place where you can use it. Anyhow, I just wanted to put that out there because things are starting to get a little crazy and you have to prepare for things. You have to make sure that you have adequate food, adequate water, okay, some extra cash on hand. It's going to be one of those years. 2025 is going to be difficult. I have that feeling. It's just a gut feeling on my part. So always watch Money and Change every Sunday night at 7 p.m. And hopefully we give you the information that you need, plus other news that you can use, okay? Well, anyhow, welcome to Money and Change right here on the Trim Radio Network. And I really appreciate you listening. And we've gained some more members, which is great, to our Facebook site. And a lot of those are from out of the country, believe it or not. And one of them is from Nigeria. So for those people there that do Swahili, if I remember right, it's Yambo and Habari. Hi, how are you? That's the only thing I learned. I went to school at the University of Findlay, and I'll tell you what. I had some friends that were actually from Kenya, and one guy's name was so long we called him Sam. It was Kiplangat Arap Shuruyat. And he was a foreign student from Nigeria, or from Kenya. And we also had another student from Nigeria, a lot of different foreign students there. We all got along great. It was a fantastic school to go to. But I'll tell you what, Sam ended up being the assistant undersecretary to the country of Kenya. He was up in the government there for a few years. That was a shocker. I also went to school with a guy from Jordan, who was later on a U.S. citizen, and he became the head of Ford Motor Company. So, you know, you run into different people. Wow, what's going on here? Well, I'll tell you what. Got to give out shout-outs. A big shout-out goes to the Trim Radio Network for carrying the show. And I'll tell you what, those guys are great. Victoria Smith, fantastic person, especially with marketing. She's fantastic there. You know, and a big shout out to everybody. I have my cheat list over here. We've got a shout out to the University of Findlay. We've got Rusty Ducks Custom Pens and Blanks. And we've got all of our YouTube buddies. Check out Prepper Princess. She has some really good videos on saving money. I'm telling you. She's a sweetheart, and she knows what's going on. She knows how to live beneath her means, and she's a self-made millionaire. So you want to check her out on YouTube. Well, what else is going on? Oh, I'm going to back that up a little bit. Hey, last Wednesday, we were doing this thing on WKRP, and I ran into some issues. So we'll straighten that out. And on Wednesday of this coming week, we will do not a repeat, but we will do a better version and a tribute to Lonnie Anderson and WKRP. So stay tuned for that Wednesday right here on the Trim Radio Network. Well, what's going on here? Well, let's see. We have a lot of stuff going on, and we got to get going here. Oh, here we are, the Trim Radio Network. Check out our page because there's a lot of stuff you can get here. And you can do your own show too. It's very easy to do. And if you take a look at our leadership there, and I always have to give these guys a big shout out. There's the magic boxes. We always get those for some reason. But, you know, you can elevate your voice and amplify your impact here. Just let us know. Hey, Michael Bejas is the founder and CEO. I've known Michael for quite a while. He's a heck of a computer builder, too. He built my mainframe here, and it's been fantastic. And he's a really good guy. He really is. Has a good sense of humor, but he's really good. Also, we have Roscala Stefan, Chief Operating Officer. He's located up in the Cleveland area, and he used to be in Florida, and he moved up to the Cleveland area. And he's up on Lake Erie for the most part. So we chat once in a while, and I've been on his shows a couple of times. Also, I guess I'm the Chief Relationship Officer, whatever that is. I guess it's building and maintaining a foundational trust. Well, hey, we're going to tell you what it is. We're not going to shoot the bull, okay? We're going to tell you what it is, and hopefully you gain some information from any one of our shows. And also we have Victoria Smith, and she's our Chief Marketing Officer, and she helps me out with a lot of different things. Check out her show. She's fantastic. She really is. So, you know, a lot of things that we have here, and if you check out our site, you know, we've got our channels, we've got our live stream, we've got our vault, we've got different events and schedule and community. Check that one out. Okay. Collectibles. Oh, yeah. Buy the merch. Buy the merch. We have merchandise. Yes, we do. And what happens with the merchandise is the funds that we get from that go to pay for airtime. Yeah. We don't get paid. None of us get paid. Personally, I don't want to be paid. I made my money elsewhere. So all I'm going to do is try to help you live beneath your means and save up some money during difficult economic times. You know, we've got a lot of inflation. But you can take a look at our t-shirts, hats, the Money and Change t-shirt. We've got the Money and Change mugs. We've got the Offsides College Football Top 25. Hey, that's coming up. Football season's getting here. Michael Bejas and company will be doing that. So you have to tune in for those shows. Oh, and we have our football polo shirt. I'm going to have to get one of those. I have to see what colors they have them in. Also, Roscala's Red Pill Reality Show, black glossy mug. We've got morphing mugs, all kinds of stuff. We even have two pages of stuff. What's on the second page? Oh, yeah, more hats, more beanies, more other goodies. Hey, you got AirPods? Rubberized case for storage. Good one. Hey, and our Trim Radio short sleeve unisex t-shirt. We cut the bull and serve the truth. Right there it is. Okay? So you want to check that out. What else is going on? Oh, yeah, if you want to do your own show, contact us. Now, one thing that was just added is the little, I guess it's red dot or maroon dot. And if you click on that, hi, how can we help you? Put your name in, your phone number, and your message. Hey, I want to be on Stu's show. Or, hey, I want to do my own show. How do I do it? And you send the message and somebody will get back with you. More than likely, you'll get an automatic response. But then somebody will contact you about setting up your own show. It's easy to do. If I can hit the buttons, if I can remember to hit the buttons, you can do it. You really can. And I'm using a Nexigo 4K camera and microphone system. It's very easy. It was inexpensive to set up. I've got other microphones I can use if I need to. But that camera, the Nexigo camera, is a really nice camera. especially for the money. And you don't have to put in a lot of money for an expensive setup. Wow, we've also got our Money and Change / Financially Prepped web page, okay? It's Facebook. And all you have to do is Facebook / group / Money and Change, and we're there. And on the post that I've done, and you can see it here, of course, the big welcome. Always have to do that for people, no matter what country they're in, because we're all over the world. We have our main page here, and I also put things in the comment. And you say, well, what are you putting in the comments? Well, we're going to talk a little bit about different things, and some of that is what to know before buying gold from Costco. We're going to talk a little bit about that. Gold's expensive. Africa to test critical minerals-backed currency. That'll be interesting. How to successfully budget on a $60,000 salary. Now, a lot of people don't make $60,000. So you just figure out how to budget on what you make, okay? Social Security insolvency projected 6 months sooner. Okay, that's a problem, isn't it? How successful a budget of $60,000 salary? The debt and deficit problem, we're going to talk a little bit about that. And a history of American recessions. Yeah, that's out there, the big R word. So, you know, a lot of things to talk about. And we're going to talk about saving some money and so forth today, too, because that's part of the show. Whoa. You know, one thing I didn't do was to talk about Rusty Duck on Wednesday. And what did I do? There I go. I hit the wrong button again. It advanced me forward, and I didn't want that. Oh, well. And Jerry, if you're out there, technical difficulties happen, okay? They have other things. Another phrase, something happens. Well, it's technical difficulties. The finger doesn't hit the button, I guess. Anyhow, these are the pens, and these are done in carbon fiber. And he has a lot of different stuff. He's on Facebook, too. And there's his page, Rusty Duck's Custom Pens and Blanks. So you want to check him out. He's got a lot of people there, 194 members. And I'll tell you what, if you want to take a look at some of the stuff he does, these are the blanks that go in the center of the pen. And then we start talking about pens, and he makes the different types of pens. They're all on a cross pen platform. And that's all you have to do. And this is actually filled with real money. It's all sliced up in slivers. I don't know how he gets that way, but he does. So that's really real currency. He's got all kinds of stuff. I mean, all kinds of pens. And you can check him out, okay? Just check out his website or his Facebook page. And Rusty Duck's Custom Pens and Blanks, fantastic. I've known Phil for a long time, and he's a fantastic craftsman. So you want to check into Rusty Duck's Custom Pens and Blanks. Oh, let's get into a topic here. America's deficit reckoning, how the U.S. debt spiral could spark crisis. Woo, really? Well, there was an article done by Lance Roberts from the realinvestmentadvice.com page. And he's saying the debt and deficit problem isn't what you think. So do we have some scare porn, as Senator John Kennedy likes to say? Well, it's from CNBC, and they had an article that said America's deficit reckoning, how the U.S. debt spiral could spark a crisis. Well, as it turned out, Lance Roberts is looking at different things, and he says the article's author suggests U.S. federal deficits are ballooning, with spending surging due to the combined impact of tax cuts, expansive stimulus, entitlement expenditures. But of course, the institutions like Yale and the Wharton School of Economics and the CBO, Central Budget, are warning that this trend has pushed interest costs to new heights, now exceeding defense outlays. Concerns about domestic solvency are rising. Okay. Well, is that scare porn? You can go, hey, Stu just talked about porn on the show. Yeah, it's economic porn. According to Senator Kennedy. John Kennedy from Louisiana. Great guy. I love him. Anyhow, the problem with Larry Summers and Ray Dalio's and many others' warnings of impending financial doom is that they have been warning of that problem for a long time, for decades. A decade's like, what, 10 years? So if it's decades, has it been 30 years, 20 years? Okay. It doesn't take much to understand Ray Dalio. He's a hedge fund titan. He likes to play with other people's money. Is like every other human being and is prone to errors. And, you know, he's not going to dismiss Dalio entirely. Okay, he's got a good track record. Okay, he's at Bridgewater. But look at the overall things going on. March 2015, hedge funder Dalio thinks the Fed can repeat 1937 all over again. Well, that was in 2015. Did we have the Great Depression? No. January of 2016, the 75-year debt supercycle is coming to an end. Fear porn, scare tactics. January 2019, Ray Dalio sees significant risk of a U.S. recession. Did it happen? Not yet. It could. September of 2023, Dalio says the U.S. is going to have a debt crisis. Maybe. And that's the problem for investors. You know, for investors who listen to Dalio's predictions of a coming depression a decade ago, they missed participating in one of the most significant bull markets in the history. In other words, people buying stock. And people started selling off because they thought there was going to be a recession. And people, smart people, got onto that. And they said, hey, they're dumping it. I might as well buy it. And they got it maybe at a pretty good price because people got out of the market. Well, anyhow, over the past 40 years, the national debt has grown exponentially. I mean, that's a fact. With none of the dire consequences that's been predicted. And he's saying that there are a few things that are going on here. The real problem with debts and deficits. And he said he understands the concern about rising debt levels. However, the problem of rising debt levels for the U.S. is not a default, but a continued degradation of economic growth. The problem with growth in debt is that it diverts tax dollars away from productive investments into debt service and social welfare. So in making it productive, we're putting into things that is not productive, that doesn't make any money. It basically takes the tax money and just sucks it up and puts it into social programs. And some of the programs are needed, but sometimes we go way overboard, and that causes a problem. And here you can see the charts, total debt required to generate $1 of GDP. And you can go to this article because we've got it posted there, the links on our Facebook page. Now, he talks about non-productive debt is the problem. And he says, not all debt is created equal. The key distinction lies between productive and non-productive debt. And understanding the difference is critical to evaluating the risks and benefits of government borrowing. Now, productive debt refers to borrowing used for investments that generate long-term economic returns, such as infrastructure, education, research, or business capital expenditures. These types of investments can increase future GDP. It improves the productivity and ultimately pay for themselves through higher tax revenues. You're investing in something that gives a return. You wouldn't want to dump your money into something that doesn't provide a good return on it, a good return on investment, an ROI. And I know with all of my facilities that I had, we always looked at return on investment when we put new equipment into a facility. Is that facility going to generate enough income to pay for the equipment that we put in and plus make a profit for the person running it? Simple things, okay? Now, non-productive debt funds consume or transfers things that don't yield a measure economic return. They don't make money. You're just dumping the funds there. And in the US, social welfare and interest payments on existing debt are largely majority of government expenditures. And like I've said before in the other shows, the government likes to spend like there's no tomorrow. They haven't had a budget in years. If you and I didn't have a budget and we spent like the federal government, we would probably be in jail for writing bad checks. But somehow the federal government likes to print more money. And that weakens the dollar. The more dollars that are in circulation, guess what? The dollar has less value. So if they keep printing and printing and printing, no wonder the dollar is not really worth a dollar. It's only worth a few cents. And I have to look into that because I think, we need to talk about that because that's due to inflation, overproduction of money. If the feds wouldn't spend that much, things would be a lot better. The dollar would be worth a lot more. At least we're not, I believe, the oh, I forget what African country it is. It has the zil. Zimbabwe, I think, has that. It's hardly worth anything at all. They have all these natural resources, but guess what? Their paper currency is worth next to nothing. We'll get into that in a little bit. But here you can see the charts and where your tax dollars go. And, if you take a look on that, there we go. You take a look, safety net program, 7%, Medicare, Medicaid, CHIP, and marketplace subsidies, 24%, Social Security, 21%, defense, 13%. And then your federal budget discretionary spending, it goes 5% for education, all other 5%. And then it breaks down into transportation, science and medical, natural resources, agriculture, and so forth. And you can see that we have a lot of stuff in Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security, and defense. Years ago, when we didn't have Medicare and Medicaid, we had more for other things. And Social Security, hey, all that's been is nothing but paper. What the government does, I think it was Lyndon Baines Johnson, good old LBJ, said, oh, we'll just borrow against what we had in the Social Security fund. At that time, it was in decent shape. But then they started writing IOUs every year and they store everything. I believe it's a warehouse in Parkersburg, West Virginia. So all these IOUs are sitting there from the federal government. And now Social Security is going to go insolvent. That's something to really consider there. Okay, so you want to take a look at that. But you can read the rest of it. Productive and non-productive debt. You can take on debt. but make it productive. Make it make money somewhere down the line. It's the non-productive debt is what's the killer. Okay, so we'll go on to something else. The history of American recessions. You know, more scare porn. An article in Zero Hedge came out and said the official designation of a recession comes from a committee at the National Bureau of Economic Research, NBER. It's a private nonprofit research organization. And the committee considers a wide range of economic-wide or economy-wide monthly data points. But the NBER views GDP, which is gross domestic product, as the single best measure. The committee calls a recession once there is a significant decline across these measures for more than a few months. The NBER official designation of a recession then doesn't happen until there are several months of data allowing it to be sure that we're in a recession. Well, they have a chart here, and you know, you can take a look at it. Gee, bar graphs. 34 recessions since 1855. And you know, they're saying just about every 10 years there's a recession. And things expand, and then there's a recession, things contract, and then they expand again. I believe 2008 was one, and that had to do with a lot of stock investments and so forth. People were selling things off. I remember that when, I was in Cincinnati working. I had an office in the Inquirer building along with 40 other people, and we were running businesses from there. And I'll tell you what, that was a recession time. Some of the stuff that we had weren't doing anything as far as stocks. And, you know, good old Rush Limbaugh was talking about things back then. And things were a little scary, and interest rates went up. But Enver's saying the U.S. has experienced 34 recessions since 1855. They've gone back that far. So right now, let's see, what do we have? In 1995, we didn't have anything there. And we go to 2005, 2006. Yeah, we had a recession there, the longest recession since World War II. And that was the Great Recession. The shortest U.S. recession was during COVID-19. Remember that back in 2020. And some people are still saying COVID-19 was kind of made up. A lot of things I think were made up back then. But those were the different recessions. And are we due for one? Maybe, maybe not. We haven't seen any data for several months suggesting that we're going into a recession. So we'll see what happens. You can check this out on our Facebook page, okay, in the comments for tonight's show. Wow, what's the national debt and all this kind of stuff? You know, I always have the U.S. debt clock. Well, I put the link to it on our webpage. So you can click on it anytime. And if you get something, the secret window pops up. All you have to do is click on close up here on the right-hand corner. And I'll take care of that. But anyhow, you take a look at the different things that they have. The national debt right now stands at $37,215,828,000,000 and climbing. It'll be $829 million pretty soon. The debt per citizen is $108,474. I don't know about you, but if I had to write a check for that, it'd be tight. Debt per taxpayer at $323,053. There's no way I would have that money. A lot of people don't have that money. And even then, they would have to pull in their investments to be able to pay that, to pay off that national debt. And like I said before, Congress spends like drunken sailors. But I don't want to tick off drunken sailors, because drunken sailors know when to quit because they run out of money. Congress, they don't care. They just print more money. You know, if either one of us would print our own money, we'd be in trouble. I mean, I could see us doing some serious time in Leavenworth or someplace. You know, it's not a good sociable place to be. Federal spending right now is climbing. It's at $7,230,479,000,000 and climbing. So you can see that. Now, the DOGE group, Department of Governmental Efficiency, is, let's see, they're saving $589,766,000,000 and climbing. And their savings are about $5,251 per taxpayer. We had a lot of, I'll say, gimme jobs. You know what gimme jobs are? You need somebody to push some paper, and we'll hire some more paper pushers. And I'd like to see what Senator John Kennedy would say to that. He's a good old boy. He has a sense of humor, too, and he just has a way of putting it out there. But you take a look at debt to GDP. Back in 1960, it was 52.55%. 1980, it was 34.64%. 2000 was 56.7%. And now, guess what? We are in trouble. It's 123.28%. We've spent way too much money. I could say we could live with 56%. I prefer back in 1980, the 34.64%. But 123.28% of GDP scares me. You can check this out on the nationaldebtclock.org. Oh, remember we were talking about Africa set to test critical minerals-backed currency? Well, Darren Taylor from Epoch Times had this article. It said, major countries and regional blocs in Africa are throwing their weight behind an ambitious plan to establish a non-circulating currency backed by critical minerals, which are crucial to technology development, defense, and economic growth. You know, and you take a look at diamonds out of South Africa. Okay, there are other diamond mines, but specifically, this is talking about South Africa. Analysts said a denomination-based commodities could reduce Africa's reliance on foreign currencies, especially the U.S. dollar, and decrease its dependency on loans from China, Europe, United States, and global financial institutions like the World Bank. Yeah, why go into debt? We've got all these minerals that we can go ahead and trade with. So why not trade in the minerals? Now, the proposed monetary unit is provisionally called the African Units of Account, the AUA, according to a plan formulated by the African Development Bank, or the AFDB, and the KPMG South Africa. The new currency is supported by the African Union and South Africa, the continent's biggest economic power, and could soon be piloted as a test market. And the proposal says the AUA would be traded on the international foreign exchange market and would be less susceptible to fluctuations in individual African currencies, such or the U.S. dollar, making it more attractive to investors. Yeah, I mean, you don't want to get into Zimbabwe with their zil. I think that's, we'll have to look that up, because the zil is Well, let's put it this way. It takes a lot of zil to equal a dollar. A lot. Okay? And they said, well, while some African mining industries are optimistic about the potential of such a currency, others warn that China could weaponize it, giving Beijing dominance in global critical minerals in their supply chains. So you got to watch how you handle things. Now, if a country has a lot of gold, that would work. But you have to watch how you do it, okay? A lot of countries are buying gold like crazy. I mean, China's buying it, Russia's buying it, India's buying it. They're stocking up on gold. We have gold, but nobody's ever checked the stuff in the vault at Fort Knox or other places. They need to audit that so we know what we have. They were going to do it. I remember Trump was saying, oh, this is what we're going to do. And Elon Musk is going to do it. But guess what? Did they? Not yet. I mean, it's like you have a wallet and you open up a wallet and you don't have anything in there. You're going to be a little bit in trouble when you go to pay for gas or when you go to pay for groceries. Speaking of groceries, have you taken a look at your prices? You know, produce generally goes down in the summertime because of the harvesting of corn. It's sweet corn time and beans and tomatoes and onions and so forth. And the prices go back up in the wintertime because we don't produce that stuff. We have to buy it from South America and other places. But check your prices. We're paying more for food now than what we've ever done before. And it really, I'll say fancy word, behooves people to plant their own garden. And I planted some today. Well, actually, not today, the beginning of the season. I got one cucumber. I got another one coming up, but my zucchini is going to go nuts. I'm going to have more zucchini than I can shake a stick at. And my zucchini are at least 3 pounds a piece. And they're about 16 inches long. Yeah. I'm going to have so much zucchini, I won't know what to do other than make either zucchini bread or fry zucchini or whatever. So my garden's not doing that good today. I don't know what it is. I mean, I fertilize the soil and everything. We're getting plenty of water, plenty of sunshine. No goodies. I don't know. Maybe it's bad seed. So, you know, that currency, it may work. Let's see what happens. Hey, with the US, I was doing some research on this, and the US is rich in mineral resources, including critical mine or minerals vital to various industries and technologies, according to the US Geological Survey, USGS. And it identifies all and assesses these resources, including those on public lands, which are crucial to national security and economic prosperity. You know, they used to have the gold rush out in the West. Well, they had a little thing in the Grand Canyon. You're not allowed to prospect there. You're not allowed to even do any digging there in the Grand Canyon. Why? Some people are thinking there's gold in the Grand Canyon, and that's the US supply of gold. Remember the gold rush when it was in California back in the 1800s? Yeah, there could be one heck of a gold rush in the Grand Canyon, but guess what? Prospectors aren't going to be able to do it because it's going to be the government owning it and doing it. That's the word that I'm getting. Well, what else do we have here? Well, the value of U.S. mineral production edged up in 2024. And which country has the most mineral wealth? Russia, $75 trillion worth. USA has 45 trillion. Saudi Arabia is 34 trillion. Canada's 33 trillion, Iran is 27 trillion, China's 23, Brazil 22, Australia is 20 trillion in US dollars. Russia has a lot of minerals. They have a lot. So, and there's probably a lot more out there, out in Siberia and so forth. But that's the top one. USA second at 45 trillion US dollars. Well, what else is going on? Oh, what do we have? Generally, our commodity is coal. We have a lot of coal. We have a lot of crushed rock. We have a lot of cement. And we have gold in US bullion, about $9 billion. And we could go on even more. Okay. Is North America rich in minerals, according to the Vital Capitalist? North America benefits greatly from fertile soils, plentiful freshwater, oil, and mineral deposits, and forests. Does the U.S. have lithium? Yes, the U.S. does have significant lithium reserves, particularly in Nevada, North Carolina, and California. However, the U.S. currently relies on imports for a large portion of its lithium needs. Now, personal aside, I had a friend of mine that I used to work with years and years and years ago. They had a lithium battery that suddenly blew and started a fire. They had about $10,000 damage to their home, and it was a beautiful home. And it was difficult to put out. But the fire's out, and it was $10,000 worth of damage for just one lithium battery. So be careful on how you handle those batteries. Somebody told me, you can take a little bit of a plastic tape and put over the terminals on each one. So if you just do the positive terminal on every one, you put that over it so nothing touches it. And then you can store them in a container, which I've done. And I have multiple fire extinguishers. I showed on the program one time the Elide extinguishers. They're a chemical ball that explodes and puts powder over everything. I've got plenty of those, as well as other types of extinguishers. But hey, got to be careful with lithium. And supposedly Elon Musk has a new thing with aluminum and salt. No, it's aluminum. Germany has the salt air battery. I might get into that next week. Well, anyhow, going from there, Costco Gold. Remember I was going to talk about that? What to know before buying gold, silver, or platinum from Costco? I don't know if I could walk in there with cash money and start buying stuff like that. And I surely wouldn't want to bounce a check there. I was a member of Costco years ago, and the closest Costco to me was in Cincinnati, and I wasn't going to drive 90 miles just to go to Costco. When I can go to Sam's Club, which is only 35 miles away. Well, anyhow, the next time you go to Costco, you may want to pick up some gold with that rotisserie chicken. Gold prices have been on a run lately, and what more convenient place to go is, well, hey, you go to Costco, buy your goodies, well, might as well stop off and get some gold, some silver, some platinum, okay? And the club store offered gold bars in 2023 and then added silver and platinum over the next year or so. Okay. You want to check out the purity of that stuff too. Because in a lot of cases, the US Eagles are like 99.95% pure silver, where the Canadians are a little bit more. They have less impurities in there. Okay. So investing in gold and silver, platinum investors view gold, silver, and platinum as store of value, meaning they maintain their purchasing power over a period of time without depreciating. Now, in gold's case, it's up to 3,000 something. And a few years back, it was only 1,000, maybe $1,000, $1,800 a an ounce over $3,000 an ounce. It's a hedge against calamity is what it is. People get worried about it. And so that's what they do. They invest in stuff like that. And, you know, you can too, but pay down your debt first. Put some money aside for a rainy day fund. Buy some long-term foods, canned goods, freeze-dried, I don't care. Be able to purify and store water at least 3 gallons per person per day. I know it used to be a 1 gallon. That's squeezing. I mean, you're going to use 3 gallons per person per day. And some of that is to keep hydrated, some is to wash your clothing, and some is to keep you clean, okay? Oh, make sure that you have a good first aid kit. Make sure that you have those blue tarps for your roof. A lot of things to consider there, and clothing for the season, okay? Do you have plenty of batteries? Did you store the lithium batteries correctly? Do you have rechargeable batteries? Do you have NiCads? Store them in a safe place, okay? Well, you take a look at a lot of different things. Costco's previous metal selection, 24 karat gold in 1 ounce bars, 20 count packs of 1 ounce silver coins. Those are usually from the mint. Those would be in a container. 999.5 pure platinum in 1 ounce bars. And Costco precious metals pricing varies and is only visible online to members. If you're not a member of Costco, forget it. And I believe their membership's something like $80 a year. For normal or dealers to sell gold above the spot price, markups can range from 1% to 30%. So if we went ahead and we took a look at APMEX right now, gold is at $3,409.30. It's down $5.20. This is real time. Silver is at $38.53. It's down 6 cents. I remember when silver was $15 an ounce. So, you know, the silver that I have has gained in value. Platinum is $1,350.80. Now, palladium, that's going to be in industrial manufacturing. Okay. It's basically found in Russia. It's $1,161 an ounce. That's through APMEX. You can go to silver.com, a whole bunch of places. Just make sure it's a reputable place. Oh, and you thought I wasn't going to do anything about the University of Findlay. I got to get it in. Hey, they do have a Facebook page. And guess what? What happened to it? Oh my God, it moved. Facebook has done it to me again. Well, anyhow, they do have a Facebook page. So check them out, University of Findlay. And you can also go to the website, www.findlay.edu. Okay, let's go to Social Security insolvency. Projected 6 months sooner, chief actuary says. Is he actuarially right? Well, the Social Security trust funds are projected to run out about 6 months earlier than previously estimated, according to new analysis from the program's chief actuary. And letters sent on August 5th to Senator Ron Wyden from Oregon and Representative Steve Horsford of Nevada say the combined old age and survivors insurance and disability insurance funds are now expected to be depleted in the first quarter of 2034 rather than the third quarter of that year, as in most of the recent trustees report. And under the new analysis carried out in response to requests from Wyden and Horsford, the One Big Beautiful Bill Act accelerated that timeline further by about 6 months. I don't think it took into consideration of taking people who are illegals that were on Social Security that shouldn't be because they're not citizens of the country. Yeah, you have maybe 11, 12, maybe 20 million of people that are here illegally, and some of them are getting Social Security. True, they're paying taxes, but guess what? They're not citizens, so they shouldn't get Social Security. They shouldn't get Medicare either. Just my thought, okay? So basically, they said, when viewed separately, the OASI fund, which pays retirement and survivor benefits, is now forecast to run dry the fourth quarter of 2032, roughly 3 months earlier than the previous estimate. This is all estimated. We still don't know what's going to happen from the tariff situation, okay? They're saying that the U.S. is now making money. So who knows? They might take some of that money and pay off the U.S. debt, and they might even go in and put it back into Social Security, too. Yeah, don't know. Hey, here's one for you. If I can get my fingers to work on this mouse. I feed it enough. It takes a battery twice a year. Are men or women better at saving money? And here's what the data says. Men may have more in savings, but the gap isn't necessarily about willpower. Oh, yeah. Everybody likes to have toys. You know, there was a sign that says, he who dies with the most toys wins. I don't know. You start collecting different things, and it takes space sometimes to become obsolete. Well, anyhow, Ivana Pino, a senior writer, wrote this thing, and she said, who's better at saving money, men or women? The answer isn't just about who's more disciplined with the budget. And research show men tend to have more money set aside, but it's not necessarily because they're better savers. Men's savings versus the women's savings. Earlier this year, Yahoo Finance partnered with the Marist poll to survey more than 3,000 adults with at least one checking or savings account and shed light on the financial struggles and concerns impacting Americans. And according to the survey, women were very dissatisfied or completely dissatisfied with their savings at a much higher rate than men, 40% versus 28% respectively. The data shows that women are in fact behind men when it comes to saving. According to the New York Life's Wealth Watch 2023 Outlook, that's a long phrase, women saved an average of $3,146 in 2022, while men saved more than double that at $7,007. If you would watch Prepper Princess, Amber Stork, she has a book that she sells too. I haven't bought the book. But if you take a look at what she says, live beneath your means. You don't need to have a subscription to Netflix. You don't need to have all the channels on Comcast or whatever. You don't need to have certain things. You don't need a new car every other year. You don't need to lease a car. That's another subject as far as leasing goes. Everybody wants to have something nice and new and fancy. You don't need that. Live beneath your means. That way you can feed your kids, feed your family, okay? Put some money aside for a rainy day fund. Oh, my golly. What else is coming up? Oh, yeah. How to live on a salary. Let's get into that.
You should absolutely feel free to adjust these numbers to meet your specific needs. With that.
And here we go. Is it going to talk?
Salary in the U.S. in 2024 was around $60,000 a year, according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics. That means after taxes, you likely bring home around $3,800 per month, according to ADP. And Yahoo Finance personal finance editor Casey Bond is here to break down how someone with that salary can budget successfully. It's a very important question.
Listen up.
Casey, if your take-home pay is just under that $4,000 a month, as a single adult, how much should you be budgeting for necessities like housing, transportation, and food?
Sure. Well, as you can see, even though $60,000 a year is the national average, that really doesn't translate to a whole lot of money every month once you account for things like taxes and today's inflated costs. So these budget breakdowns are really based on an ideal scenario, but it's important to point out that budgets are very personal and you should absolutely feel free to adjust these numbers to meet your specific needs. With that said, housing is generally the most expensive budget category for most people, and we recommend setting aside about a third of your budget for that. Food would be the next category at 15%. That includes things like groceries, dining out, ordering DoorDash, what have you. Next is transportation, which should be about 10% of your budget. That includes car maintenance, gas, public transportation, rideshare. And then things like utilities and healthcare should be around 5% of your budget.
What about savings? How does that factor into all of this?
Well, saving can be really tough, especially in today's economy, but it's also very important. So we recommend setting aside about 15% of your income towards savings and investments. That's going to include your emergency fund, saving for goals like going on vacation, and then very importantly, retirement savings. And we also recommend, if you can swing it, setting aside about 5% of your income in your checking account to act as a buffer. Overdraft fees are very expensive, so you don't want those eating into your hard-earned money. And then it also affords you a little bit more wiggle room if an expense does come up and you don't necessarily want to eat into that emergency fund.
Yeah, definitely important. So we said this was for a single adult. If you have a family, if you start to grow your family, how then does that change the budget?
Sure. Well, the nice thing about being a single adult is that your obligations are probably going to be a lot less than maybe later in your career when you do start a family. One expert we spoke to actually recommended aiming for as much as 50% of your income in savings, if that's something that you can afford to do. But once you do start a family, you maybe have a spouse or kids, your daily essentials are really going to increase. You know, you might be in the thick of mortgage repayment, you might be paying for childcare, and then your savings also needs to increase. You might be paying towards a 529 plan for your kids' college, you're going to need a bigger emergency fund. So that really means you're going to have to dial back that discretionary spending. It's really about making sure that you can afford today's obligations and you're planning for the future.
Speaking of the future, Casey, how does all of this change when you retire?
Well, the good news is that once you're in retirement, generally your lifestyle costs are going to decrease compared to where they were when you were working. You may downsize your home or relocate. You're just not going to have those same expenses. So that means it's time to actually enjoy the fruits of your labor. And you can actually increase some of that discretionary spending. That's not to say that you shouldn't still have a really solid budget in place. There are other expenses that tend to pop up in retirement, particularly healthcare costs. But you can increase that discretionary spending and you can dial back the savings too, because you're now living off of your investment income that you worked so hard to generate.
Yep. And I'll tell you what, we're just about out of time here. And we were going to talk about medical bills. Maybe I can do that Wednesday as part of the show Wednesday. So you can check us out then. Wow, we have just run out of time. And, you know, hey, thanks for everybody for listening. Like I said, go to our Facebook page and look in the comments under tonight's show. You can see all of the articles there and read through them. Okay, and hopefully we can save you some money, okay? Big shout out to Jerry. He's always here. He's a faithful guy. And I'll tell you what, I appreciate Jerry coming in every show. I mean, he's here faithfully, and I appreciate it. Hey, tell all your friends about us. Join us for next week's Money and Change, and join us on Wednesday night for My World, right here on the Turn Radio Network. And with that, have a good week. Start saving your money, okay? See ya.